title, my sermon, and quite honestly, it's probably the most bizarre, strange title that I've ever had for a sermon. And some of you will say it's because my wife's out of town and there's no filter in my life right now. But look at this title. Pit life is not good times, especially if you're the pig. Joy would have never let that wing fly, I know. Now, this will all make sense in probably just a few moments. But before that, I want to show you a picture that I just cherish in my own heart. This picture right there, this is just, I just love this picture. It's of me when I was a new dad. That is my firstborn, Victoria. She's holding herself up on my legs. She had just started to crawl and walk. And I just love this picture because it can speak. In fact, I could take a whole sermon just on this picture itself. Reminds me of a lot of things. It reminds me, you know, when I was a first dad and all the anticipations of being a dad and all the excitement of being a dad and sometimes all the terror of being a dad. You know, it reminds me of the responsibilities that I just suddenly were thrust upon me as a father. And, you know, it reminds me when my hair was black. There's lots of memories with that. But one of the things that it really reminds me of is that at that moment, I was everything to my daughter. I was a hero. My daughter thought that the sun rose and set on who I was. And, you know, as she got older, she sort of realized that I wasn't quite the perpetual hero that she thought I was back then. In fact, it reminds me that we all, as a dad particularly, and you dads can relate to this, men can particularly relate to this, and women can as well, is that in our world, we always want to be the hero. We always want to be on top of our game. We always want to be the best that we can be. And life comes along and kind of slaps us down a couple notches at times. But we always want to be the heroes. In fact, this is a little side thing. Women in your life, with men in your life, let them be the hero every once in a while. They love being the hero. But the reality is that we're not always the heroes that we think we are. And sometimes heroes run into problems. We love the movies. Guys, think of this. Think of the movies that you like, where the country is in turmoil and the hero comes to save the day, where the damsel is in distress and the hero comes on his white horse and saves her from the problems. We all like to be the heroes. We put ourselves, sometimes we're watching these movies and we put ourselves into the position of being that hero. That's me. I can conquer all. I can do all those things, you know, as we're laying on the couch eating our popcorn. But we want to have that feeling of being a hero. One of the favorite movies that my family just loves to watch over and over again is The Princess Bride. How many of you have seen that movie? Yeah, I know many of you all have. Give you a slight synopsis on this. The princess is the beautiful Buttercup. Now, Buttercup has been held captive now by a dastardly Prince Humperdinck. And she's doomed to this awful marriage with someone she doesn't love. She had a true love. His name was Wesley. But Wesley's no longer around in her mind. And she's doomed to this awful marriage with Humperdinck. But Wesley, unknown to her, Wesley has been fighting battles and has been coming to her rescue. Wesley was the hero in that movie. Wesley, he had to endure being captured by pirates. He endured that. He endured sword fights to the death. He endured poison in a chalice that he had to drink. He endured things like the fire swamp or rodents of unusual size, if you remember the story. And so all of these things Wesley endured, but then there was a moment where Wesley found himself in a torture chamber, tied up in chains. I'm going to show you a very short clip of that movie where Wesley found himself in. And I want you to listen to the words of what the other person is saying. But if you have young children, there's a little bit of blood on the shoulder, so you might want to turn their heads. But let's see if we can watch this clip. Yeah, so he's in the pit of despair. How many have ever been in a pit of despair? Okay, now some of you are just not being honest. But he finds himself in the pit of despair, and the only thing he says, so I'm here, yeah, until they kill me, until they kill you. Sometimes we find ourselves in pits. Sometimes there are large, deep, dark pits. Other times they're a little bit more shallow, but the reality is that we all find ourselves in pits. We all find ourselves in those dark places. And I'm going to just cover a little bit of type of pits that we want to avoid. The type of pits you want to avoid is, number one, the ones you accidentally fall into. These are the ones that you just didn't see coming. You didn't expect it. You didn't do anything. And suddenly you find yourself in a pit. The second kind of pit, the ones you're pushed into. These are the pits that others around you, circumstances that you had no control over, but because you were connected to other people, other situations, you find yourself drug into a pit. The third kind of pit you want to avoid is the ones you jump into yourself. These are the ones because of your own actions, perhaps your own disobedience to God, perhaps sin in your life. It has thrust you into a pit, perhaps even a pit of despair. These are the ones you want to avoid, and I'm thinking, what else is there? Well, there really isn't anything else. These are the pits that we all find ourselves in one time or another in our lives. There are times when we're really not the hero, that we find ourselves in the pit. We feel like a failure. We feel entrapped, and like Wesley in that short script, he's in chains. He can't get out of the chains. They're far too thick. We're not the hero. We're in a pit, chained. Sometimes it's because we literally do fail. We do make mistakes, and we find ourselves in that pit. Regardless, you are either in a pit right now, you've been in a pit, or you will be in a pit. Welcome to the pit of despair. We all have lived there. I love being part of a spiritual family, a part of a healthy, even natural family, because in the midst of a pit, there are moments when those who love you can gather around you and encourage you and give you words of affirmation and try to remind you of the truth, and they try to get you up out of that pit, and that's great. But what do you do when there's no one around? What do you do when you're in a pit and there's no one who you can go to? What do you do when you're in a pit and it seems like there is no hope and no one else around you even cares, let alone knows? That was a question that I had to ask myself at one time. What do you do when there's no go-to people? I know there's a couple things that I found out, things I don't want to do. And number one is I don't want to take up residency there. That's the feeling like, this is it. I'm never going to get out unless I die. We don't want to take up residency inside a pit. Number two, I don't want to redecorate the pit. I don't want to just make it comfortable. I don't want to try to make it look good. And this is a problem that happens to us sometimes when we find ourselves in a pit, is that even if we think we may not live there all the time, but we want to make it look good and feel good while we're in it. And what the problem with that is that sometimes we end up acting in ways that cause us to stay in that pit even longer because we're just trying to make it feel good at the moment. This is the time when sin can enter your life because nothing else feels good, so you try to do something that makes you feel good. Let's be real. We live with that struggle when we find ourselves in a pit. The third is to pretend you're not in a pit. Yes, folks, that's denial. Sometimes we put on the church face around everybody and we say, everything's wonderful, everything's good, everything's happy. But really, we're denying and lying to ourselves that we really are in a pit. Don't live in denial. The final thing is you try to dig yourself out of the pit. Yeah, that's silly. It's like, how can I dig myself out of a hole when I'm in a hole? You cannot do that. And then there's people around you when you're in a pit. There's people around you that with all good intentions, want to give you the religious holy answer. Just pray more, sister. Just pray more. And you'll get out of that pit. Maybe you need to fast because of the pit you're in, and maybe God will deliver you out of that pit. There's all sorts of what I call holy answers. And quite frankly, some of it may be actually true, but the problem is when you're in the pit, you don't need some cliché-ish remark from somebody. You need to get out of the pit. That's what you need. And when you're in the pit, sometimes you don't know exactly what to do to get out of that pit. It's sort of like when I've been traveling and I get lost in some unfamiliar place and finally I stop trying to do it on my own and I pull out the GPS and I put in the coordinates and the GPS says, drive to highlighted route. I'm like, if I could drive to the highlighted route, I would have done it and not ask you. Sometimes those answers can be like that. Drive to the highlighted route. So what do you do when you're in a pit? Well, I was reading in Samuel. In fact, you guys, if you want to have a really good story, go to 1 Samuel. It's filled with all sorts of adventure and things that went on. But Samuel's talks about David. And David was a hero in the making. David had many heroic things that happened in his life. He was a shepherd boy who takes on a lion and a bear and kills them. He was the last in the line of his brothers, and yet the prophet came and anointed him as king over Israel. He was a small guy in his stature, yet he defeated a giant on the behalf of the Israelites. He became a servant of the king, of King Saul. And even in Scripture, it tells us where Saul, they sang about Saul, about slaying his thousands at war, but David, his 10,000s. This man was a hero in the sight of the people of Israel. He was a hero in so many fronts. But even heroes have pit times. They have times where they have to live inside of a pit. David, when you read more into Samuel, you'll find out that David was kicked out of Saul's household. In fact, Saul the king was out to kill him because he was jealous of him. David lived in caves and slept on rocks. I mean, he's a great hero there. He had a band of men who followed him, but these men were misfits. They were not the best soldiers, the best people around, but that's who started to cling to him. At one moment, David, because he was being ostracized and out from the Israelites because King Saul was after him. He tried to sell himself as a mercenary, as a soldier, a paid soldier for Israel's army, the Philistines. He tried to sell himself. They took him in, but then even they rejected him as a mercenary. And so David finds himself in a place where he's not wanted anywhere. He's caught between his love for God, his allegiance to Israel, but the king of Israel is trying to kill him. The enemies of Israel don't want him to have anything to do with him either. And he's caught in this middle place. In this middle place of, it's not really good times for David. He finds himself in the pit. But there was one bright note. When David was trying to sell himself as a mercenary, he was given a city for he and his men and his family to live in, and that was the city of Ziklag. And so when the Philistines had rejected David, he was going back to his city. He and his men were going back to the city where their families lived. And here David has another big fail. He has another time that he's shoved into a pit. And let's read that. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm starting with verse 1. So David and his men are on their way back to Ziklag. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites, those were enemies of the Philistines and the Israelites, just for your information, they had invaded the south and Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Wow, what a pit. Their families gone, their city burned. And David and his two wives and Abigail had all been taken captive. Now David was distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of the soul of the people was so great grieved. So here David is going back, they're in the pit of despair, and now David's faced with his own guys, the only people that have been really with him, are wanting to kill him. That's a pit. Can you imagine what David was feeling at that time, in that moment? But David's response to the pit is what caught my eye. David said, and it says, now David strengthened himself in the Lord. And that it just jumped out when I read that. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, I would have rather it say, the Lord God came and strengthened David. But he didn't say that. David strengthened himself in the Lord. There was something that David did. Obviously, the Lord is the one that gives us strength. But there was something that David did to strengthen himself. It goes on the next verse. It says, and then David said to the priest, bring me the ephod here. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And when I read that, I thought, I get caught up in this trap where I think that the answer to my prayer is getting out of the pit. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Then he asked God for an answer to the problem he was in. It's two different things. Sometimes we believe that the strengthening myself is more of finding an answer to the problem, but it really isn't. It's a totally separate thing. And as I was reading that, it was in the midst where I really felt in my own heart and spirit, I was in a pit. Yeah, pastors can get into pits. Everyone can get into a pit. And I found myself in a pit, and I was reading this, and I said, David strengthened himself in the Lord. How did he do that? I really care, but I really, really, really want to know how I can do that right now. That was my heart. And I believe in the moment, God showed me, and in fact, not just in the moment, it was over a period of time, where God showed me three things of how I strengthen myself in the Lord. And that's what I want to share very briefly this morning. There's more than three things. There's many things that you can do. And some of you have been through pits and can probably preach this sermon better than I could preach this sermon. But this is what the Lord showed me that I wanted to share with you this morning. And before I get to those three points, we're gonna look at several passages in Psalm 27. Psalm 27 was written by David. We don't know exactly when it was written, but we know that it was written sometime when David was running for his life from King Saul. And inside Psalm 27 is just a tremendous information about what David was going through and what he did and all that kind of stuff. But in Psalm 27, it says in verses 13 and 14, it says, David saying, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here are the three things that I believe the Lord showed me. Number one, remember. Remember God's faithfulness. It's his faithfulness that can strengthen me. See, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes in the midst of the pit, we are so consumed by the stuff around us that we forget what God has done for us in the past. David, before he was going out to battle Goliath, said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, the Lord, he's declaring this, he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see, David remembered what the Lord had done, that the same power that delivered him and put the lion and the bear into his hands was the same God that was going to be with him when he went to battle in the midst of the pit right there. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is the light of my salvation. In whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, look what David does here. He says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. He was recalling, he was reminded of the protection of the Lord over his life. In the midst of our pits, in the midst of our times of darkness, don't forget what God has done for you in the past. Jeremiah the prophet in Lamentations said, I recall to my mind. I remember in my mind. It's an active thing that I do. I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Even in Timothy, and this verse came to me as I was walking through my pit. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Now, skip down to verse 13. It says, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. That is such a great promise. in the midst of the pit, to remember that even when I have no faith, even when I don't feel like God's coming to my rescue, He is a faithful God. In the midst of my faithlessness, God is still faithful because that's who He is. He cannot change who He is. He is a faithful God. And in remembering that, in recalling to my mind, I am strengthened up in knowing that it's not me, it's not my power, it's not my strength. It's God and His faithfulness. So when you're in the midst of the darkness of a pit, don't forget what you saw in the light. He is faithful. His faithfulness is my strength. Number two, in the midst of the pit, I respond righteously. Now, let me define this. When I talk about responding righteously, what's a righteous response? A righteous response is I do what is right regardless. I do the things that I know are right based on His truth, based on who God is and who He says I am. That's responding righteously. And this is what happens. Responding righteously enables the Holy Spirit to continue to flow through me. And when the Holy Spirit flows through me, I become strengthened. Now, let me give you this example. My family and I were traveling on vacation several weeks ago, and in our travels, we were traveling through Niagara and Niagara Falls, and I like electricity and all that kind of stuff, and there's a famous power plant up there, the Niagara Power, and they have a dam on the Niagara River. And this is what happens. They take water and they divert it from the Niagara River before it gets to the falls. They pipe it under a tunnel underneath the city of Niagara. It goes into this huge retention pond, and then the water is released through this dam where there's turbines which generate electricity, and then the water goes into the Niagara and then to the lake. Okay, in that process, there is enough power that's being generated in that dam there in Niagara for most of Western New York. And not only Western New York, as I was walking through this dam, I realized that the air conditioning that I was enjoying, the lights and all that, were also a byproduct of that energy that was being produced because the water was flowing through that dam. Now take this example. If the water was suddenly stopped, the dam would not be generating electricity. Western New York would go dark, but so would the dam. And I realized a point there that when I allow the Holy Spirit to flow through me, then I am strengthened because of His power. But here's what happens. When we're in a pit, sometimes we stop doing what God has called us to do. We not only stop doing it, and others are not blessed, but we ourselves start to atrophy. We start feeding on ourselves because there's no fresh power flowing through us. See, David, in the midst of his running from Saul for his life, still did what is right. In fact, you read in Samuel, David continued to act righteously, even in front of Saul, even when he had opportunity two times to kill Saul. He backed off and said, no, I will not touch God's anointed. It's not my job. He acted and responded righteously. And what happens sometimes when we get in a pit, he said, we get so self-absorbed, so self-consumed in our own issues and our own problems, problems that we fail to do what is right. In fact, sometimes we can even do what is wrong. Keep the power flowing. Amen. Thank you. Proverbs 3 says, in verse 27, it says, "Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power of your hand to do so." When I'm in a pit, sometimes the last thing I want to do is be nice. Well, let's be real. The last thing I want to do is pray for someone. The last thing I want to do is to stand up here and preach when I myself feel like I'm in a pit. 1 Thessalonians talks about the fact that we are to be patient with all, we are to pursue what is good and right for both ourselves and for those around us. You see, the pit doesn't remove me from my identity as a son. It doesn't remove me from God's call on my life simply because I don't feel like it. I'm a dad. Sometimes I don't feel like doing dad things. Sometimes I don't feel like I want to be a dad. But I'm a dad. That's my destiny. That's who I'm called to be. So in the midst of the pit, don't stop the flow of doing what you're supposed to be doing as a righteous man or woman of God. I respond to the truth. I respond to who God says I am to be, and I allow my feelings to catch up with that. I don't do the reverse. I don't wait till I feel like it. I respond to the truth. I remember what God says about me, that I am his son, that I am his beloved, that he did die for me, that I'm not second-rate goods, that he has a purpose and a plan for my life, that he's called me for good and not for evil, that he's put words in my mouth to bring blessing and not cursing to those around me. And in the middle of the pit, I respond to who he's called me to be, because in that pit, sometimes I don't feel the truth. I don't hear the truth in my head. But I have to remember and believe what he said about me. And strength then arises as I begin to act according to the truth. And in that time, when you're in the pit and you don't feel like it, sometimes the only way you can remember the truth is to get into his presence. The funny thing about that is that the enemy uses the pit times to cause us sometimes to walk away from him in his presence. When in fact, those are the times that we should be walking toward him, even when we don't feel like it. Because in his presence, I discover truth. In his presence, I begin to align my emotions with the word, with the truth. And that's done, and David did this marvelously. David was a worshiper. You want to get in the presence of God? Worship him. Praise him. Psalm 27, verses 3 through 6, David says, "One thing I desire of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle." Now, David, when David was in the wilderness running from Saul, when he was in his pit time, there was no church to go to. There was no building to go to. There were no other people of God to run to. But David knew what it was to worship the Lord. Most of Psalms is just worship and praise to the Lord. He understood what it was to get in the presence of the Lord, because in the presence of the Lord, I understand truth. When I understand truth, I respond according to the truth. The Holy Spirit keeps on flowing through me, and I am strengthened because I'm in his presence. In the pit, you find strength when you continue to act according to who you are, not how you feel. And then finally, and very quickly, I renew my mind. I am strengthened when my mind is renewed by His Spirit. The renewal of my mind is an intentional act. It is something that I intend to do in my cooperation with the Holy Spirit. See, it's my initiative. I choose what I allow to dwell, my mind to dwell upon. I can make a choice on what I muse over, what I keep thinking about. I have the ability to choose what I think about. Yes, things come into my mind, but what does it say in Corinthians? That I am to take captive every thought. I am to take captive every thought into the authority of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." There's a reality here. When we dwell upon the negative things that have happened in our life, when we dwell upon our negative responses, we begin to act more like that. It's just true. I was listening, as I was coming to church this morning, I was listening to a newscast, and there was a doctor on there. And he wasn't a believer, he was just a doctor, and he had a symptom that he called the worried well. And he said, these are people who come to my office multiple times a month because they're worried and they're dwelling upon something that they think they may have. And he says, the funny thing about it is that as they keep on thinking, and we test, there's nothing wrong, they begin to show signs of the same problem that they thought they had. You see, our mind, God has given us our mind, and we have a choice on what we dwell upon, on what we think about. We're not to be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. Now, I don't know about you, but in the midst of a pit, I have so many thoughts that go on in my mind. I have good thoughts, I have bad thoughts, and they're just like, just a jumble mess. And sometimes I don't even know how to focus and what to think about. Something that I think we don't speak enough about. And that is in Romans, it says, Romans 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we don't even know what we should pray or even how we should pray. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And in Jude chapter 1, it says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Folks, there are times when I know nothing to do but begin to pray in the Spirit. Because when I begin to pray in the Spirit, my mind and my thoughts start aligning to the truth. My mind becomes renewed, not because I've tried harder, but because the Holy Spirit does his work inside of me as I pray according to the Spirit that is inside of me. God has called us to renew our minds. Paul even said in Ephesians to think upon the things that are true and of virtue and of good report. We're to think upon those things. And he goes on to say that in that I find contentment and I'm at peace and I realize that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It is that renewing of the mind, that intentional thinking upon the things that God has called us to think upon, the true things. I am strengthened when I intentionally set my mind on what is good. So in the pit, the three things again is number one, remember his faithfulness. Number two, respond righteously even when you don't feel like it. Number three, renew your mind. Because actually, folks, you can thrive in a pit. I'm not talking about just survive, but you can literally thrive. You can actually become stronger in a pit as the Lord strengthens you. And here's really the best news of all. The great thing about pits is that pits are pass-throughs. They're pass-throughs. In fact, David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. You see, what happens is that the pit is a pass-through, and God then comes, and he lifts you up out of the pit. It's not you digging yourself out. He lifts you up out of the pit so that you can see things more clearly. In fact, in the midst of the pit, sometimes we don't see clearly. But it's God that comes and lifts us up so we can actually see what's going on around us. That's his promise. And finally, in the midst of my pit time that I had a few weeks ago, I read Psalm 23. Very familiar psalm for all of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me into paths of righteousness. But here's the verse that got me. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and then it hit me. This is a pass-through. I walk through. I'm not here to stay. I walk through, and in that walking through, he sustains me. He leads me to bountifulness because, as it says at the end of this psalm, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That is his promise. So when you're in a pit, and if you're not one in now, you probably will be. It's life. Don't forget that he is with you in the pit. Remember his faithfulness. Respond righteously. Renew your mind. And remember, this is not going to last forever. Would you bow your heads, please, and pray? Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, I know that everyone here has been in a pit, or they may currently be in a pit. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come. And Father, if there are those here today that are in a pit of their own doing, pits that they jumped into, were because of either sin or willful disobedience to you, they find themselves reaping the consequence of those actions and they're in a pit. Father, I thank you that your strength is sufficient. And Lord, if repentance is needed, right now I ask, Lord, that they would have the boldness to go before you and say, God, forgive me for being disobedient. I hate this pit I'm in, and I realize that it was my doing that got me in it. So forgive me. And perhaps there's someone who's never, you may have lived life in and out of pits, and you never had the strength of the Lord in the midst of a pit because you never knew the Lord. You never really had made him the Lord of your life. This is the day that you can say, I no longer want to go through the next pit without you. This is the moment where you can ask and say, Father, I want to make you Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord. And Father, for the rest of us and for those particularly who are in a pit that is not of their own doing or pit that they were drug into, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to begin to recall, help them to recall in their mind your faithfulness, your goodness, your compassion, that even when we are faithless, you are faithful because you cannot deny yourself. And so, Father, I ask that faith would arise. And Lord, for those who are in the middle of a pit and they've stopped the flow of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they've stopped even though that they know that they were called to be a son, a daughter of God. They were anointed for many, many things, and yet they have refused. They've shut down because of the pit that they're in. God, I ask right now that they would make a determination to open up the gates and let your Holy Spirit flow through them, even in the midst of a pit. And Lord, I'm asking that those of us who need a renewed mind, that Father, we've dwelt upon the horrible stuff of the pit and all the negative and all the problems and all the issues. And Father, right now we need a renewed mind. I ask you to do that renewal process in their mind right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that the pit is a pass-through. We're not there to stay, but you walk with us. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand, please? Father, I pray blessings upon my brothers and sisters this day. I pray, Lord, that we would be righteous men of God, that regardless of the circumstances around us, that we would walk in your strength. May your strength be abundant in all of us, I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great weekend. Blessings.